listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM? Well, somebody's got to. Hey!
Yes, thank you very much. I still think he gets a bit too carried away on that particular thing. The weather today, it's going to be a dull morning, but albeit with a damp start. Cloudy, but lifting. Sunny spells later on in the day. Highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 9 degrees centigrade. We've been building up to this next particular piece, Natalie, for, well, at least the last hour, and indeed last night as well. Memoir writing. You know, putting together your memoirs, getting it all together, the ideal bespoke sort of organisation, etc. Whom do you think we should be speaking to now when we're talking memoir writing?
I would think Caroline Branigan.
I would think you're absolutely right. Mm. Caroline Branigan, are you there?
Oh, good morning.
Good to touch base with you, good sir. Now, we have rather like an action-adventure scenario. Caroline Branigan, memoir writer.
Hi.
So, share with us, how did you actually get this notion of suddenly saying, right, you know, let's put this collection of memories together? I mean, let's take Natalie, for instance. I mean, you know, relatively, you know, 2 decades on the planet, a little bit more than 2 decades. Lots of exciting things you can actually put together, you know. But she's a busy girl. You know, she's got her dissertation to sort through. She's got her journals. She's got a whole range of other factors,
well,
degree
I think,
scenarios.
I think Natalie's probably got a few chapters of her life to live first.
I think so. Well, that's okay. So who is it? I mean, you know, if Wayne Rooney can publish his memoirs, aged 21, 22, I'm sure, you know, there's got to be space for Natalie Tuck
in
there.
Well, that's a very interesting point, actually. Is one of the reasons I set this up was that... So I spent many years as a journalist, and I became slightly disillusioned with this celebrity culture. In other words, we have extraordinary people often doing very ordinary things like going shopping, whereas I'm much more interested in ordinary people who have extraordinary stories, and there are many of them out there. So that was one reason that I set this company up. The other reason was that my parents unfortunately died a long time ago, and when my own children came along, I realised that they wouldn't know their other set of grandparents. So I wrote a book about my own parents. Well, of course, that's the point, and I know a lot of your listeners will understand what I'm saying here. That's the point where you think, if only I had asked more questions. My father was English, my mother was German. They married in April 1939. He went off to war. He was at Dunkirk. He then went to the Middle East. My mother was alone with a baby as a German woman during the war here. And there are a few small stories about her being accused of spying by flashing torches at planes, not quite sure what she was meant to be doing. You know, please drop a bomb on my head here. But very little that I know. I don't know how my father got back from Dunkirk. He never spoke about it, as people often didn't. And I suddenly thought, well, you know, what a shame, you know, that I could have done such a great story. So there were the two points there, and that's what inspired me to set up this business. And from the response I've had, I realised that a lot of people have this very strong desire that they want their life story recorded in some way.
Is it all to do with that L-word legacy that, you know, obviously manifested itself in recent political circles that, you know, we like to feel as though the immortality, which maybe is there as a matter of course, but there's that sense of feeling that, you know, there's something there. It's possibly the reason that programmes such as Who Do You Think You Are Live, I mean, we cover that show every year in London for the event at Olympia. Clearly the TV series, it's gone ballistic in terms of popularity now. It's, there's American versions and so on. I mean, is it all down to legacy and finding out where we came from and so on.
I think there are two directions here. There's going back and there's going forwards. In other words, there is the legacy for the future generation. I think a lot of people have a tremendous desire that the people who come after them should know them and know who they were. They don't have to be famous. They don't have to have done anything dramatic. Just their life story is important. I mean, anyone who's lived through the 20th century has experienced enormous change. And just those small domestic items like, you know, that always amused me about, you know, the outside loos and people sitting there with the snow blowing in on them, that sort of thing. To today's generation of children in particular, that's a completely foreign place.
Of course, on the plus factor, the air conditioning was a lot better then.
The air conditioning was much, much better. But the point is that these people growing up, these children of the 20s, 30s and 40s, they weren't unhappy. They generally had a great deal more freedom. So from that point of view, that story is very important for those generations that come after. But talking about family history and who do you think you are, of course, you know, what comes over most strongly about family histories is that mostly what you know about people is when they were born and when they got married and when they died. And you don't really know about them as people, or, you know, you might know some of the things they did, but do you know why they did it or how they felt about it? And there's a great deal of supposition imposed on our ancestors, I think, as to, you know, what, where they might have been even, which I personally dislike rather. So I think people writing their life stories today is tremendously important because then future generations will actually know who they were. And so I think there is this tremendous desire, and it tends to get stronger as we get older. I have a lot of people who ring me where something has happened in their life that's making them realise that perhaps, you know, they're not going to be around forever. And they suddenly think, you know, I've been talking about this for 20 years and I'm going to do it now.
You mentioned you started life as a journalist.
I did.
And the classic lines, who, where, what, when and why, that
yes.
kind of investigative journalism scenario
yes.
that we work through. Does that skill actually help in terms of beginning to unpick and doing the one-to-one interviews with your interviewees and the people who are actually looking to get the memoir book put together?
Yes, I mean, tremendously. I mean, obviously, I have a slightly different technique now. I mean, I'm not, you know, if I was interviewing a politician, then obviously I would be... much more
answer the question
yes, but obviously it helps me in terms of getting the most out of people, because people who write their own memoirs, quite often when you read it you think, but what did you do next, or why did you do that, or they mention something that is incomprehensible, or they mention people and then those people disappear and you don't know what happened to them. So from that point of view, yes, the journalism is very helpful. But there comes a point in people's life stories where sometimes it's best to leave sleeping dogs lie, and I'm very good at detecting when someone doesn't want to go down a certain road.
Discretion being the best policy, particularly when you talk about illegitimates, possibly, but anyway, I won't go there.
Well, I mean, I do know somebody who was doing a family history and discovered that a cousin was illegitimate and said they were going to ring them up and tell them.
Not the most sensitive things
I don't think that's a very good idea.
No.
So, and sometimes people do tell me more than perhaps they intended to, and I do stop and say, look,
too much information.
How do you think that's going to be when it's in print? Who's still around? Mm. Who might be upset by that? And there are certain times when I have either advised leaving things out or changing identities so dramatically that they can't be. Nobody living today could be identified. So I think it's very important to guide people through this process of telling their story. But most people say to me, I've really enjoyed this, because how often do we get the chance to talk about ourselves without the other person jumping in and telling us all about them? I mean, I don't do that. Obviously, I'm listening to their story. I'm guiding them through.
Caroline, are you saying you've never been tempted to actually say, look, enough about you. What about me? What do you think about me? Let me tell you about that. You think you've got challenges? Whoa, listen to this.
I try not to, because once I start, I can't stop, really. But no, that's part of my job, is to shut up about me. I mean, obviously, during this process, it can get quite... get quite close to people in some ways, but it's only at the end of it that we might decide, yes, we're friends, and we can then talk as ordinary people talk. But when I'm the memoir writer, you know, I've very much got that hat on, and I have to control my own response. I might say occasionally, use a bit of empathy, where I say, well, yes, I know about that because, you know, I might say my dad was at Dunkirk, blah, blah. Yeah. So, but generally speaking, I shut up.
So you've never been actually tempted to actually go, I don't believe that. Shut what?
That's a very interesting point. I mean, I think memory is what you believe to be true. In other words, there are lots of things when I would talk about my own childhood, for example, where I can't be absolutely certain that that happened, or do I think that happened, or have I been told that happened. My advice to people is to write, or for me to write, them to tell their story as truthfully and fully as possible. But on the other hand, there are family. There are lots. I mean, the Antiques Roadshow is a terror for busting family stories, where people have a lovely family story about an object, and then the expert says, "Oh, but that can't be true."
Mm.
Now, if there's something obviously wrong, for example, one man said that his house was destroyed by a V1 bomb in 1942. Well, I happen to know because I'm a bit of an anorak.
They didn't start the V1 bombers until 44 at the very latest, really.
June the 13th, 1944. I remember that because June 13th is my birthday. I mean, something like that.
You're suggesting they actually did that to celebrate the battle? Was that it? Were the Germans sort of sadly maligned that it was just to celebrate Caroline's birthday?
They were anticipating the arrival. I wasn't around then. But something obviously wrong like that. We would discuss that and say, well, what do you think it was? Do you think it happened later, or do you think it wasn't a V1? So things like that. I mean, structure, for people who try and attempt to write their own, structure is often the most difficult thing, actually getting the order correct and marrying up certain dates, using little milestones within the story so that we get a good flow to it. So I obviously help people with that. But as for the actual, have I ever thought, I don't believe that? It depends. I mean, if it's important that when it goes in the book that lots of other people don't go, oh, I don't believe that, then I think we just need to discuss it, really, and say, well, are you sure about that? It doesn't happen very often, but just, you know, we would discuss that. And
you're
say,
claiming that your grandfather was indeed from the planet Venus. I'm not sure whether that would actually sit well with the rest of the family. Sorry.
Yeah, but who knows?
It could be true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not one for sitting there and saying, God, blimey, that's a pack of lies. But you see, people
tell
don't
it to the Marines. It's not going to work.
People don't normally tell lies, do they? I mean, they might get in a slight muddle, or they might
just exaggerate. Be economical with the truth, as we used to say.
Yes, I mean, I'm all for exaggerating slightly, obviously having been a journalist, but for the sake of a good story. But on the other hand, people just don't do this. They remember, generally speaking, what happened to them, and they just want to tell that story. I've certainly never been in the position of saying to anybody, oh, well, I'm sorry, we can't proceed with this because this doesn't seem to be a tissue
of lies.
Yeah. But people generally don't want to do that. I mean, they want to just tell their story. I mean, for people to actually come to me, I think they have a very strong desire to tell this story, and they've thought about it a lot. And so those people, I think, normally are pretty reliable witnesses, you might say. There's one or two people who've come to me where I've said, I just don't think we can work together, and that would be for reasons of perhaps they aren't possibly reliable for various reasons. It might be a health reason or whatever. Mm. But most people are pretty good, I'd say.
Natalie, questions from the young journalist's point of view, from the more chronologically gifted perspective of Caroline.
Yeah, I just wondered, hi. So when people, you write their memoirs, is it just for their sort of family, or do they go on to sort of sell these books?
Well, I always say to people, you should start out thinking that it's just for your family and friends, and that you're certainly not going to make money on this. I mean, compared to some of my competitors, I think my prices are very realistic, but nevertheless, to actually spend a long time taking someone's story down, writing it, I then design the book and have it printed. Obviously, that's quite an investment, although for most people, it's something they want to do so badly that they consider it a tremendous investment. I've forgotten what the question was. I was keen to make that point. I've completely forgotten what you asked me. Say it again.
Do they have their books written just for their own family,
right,
or do
yes.
they go on to sell them?
Rewind. I always say to them, you must think of this as being for family and friends. However, quite a few of my clients have ended up telling such amazing stories that they have been able to go on to sell books. Now, I don't sell it for them. I give them the books. I take no more money after that, but they go out and they give them to local papers, they go on the radio, they go to local bookshops, or they just sell them to people they know. And they might easily sell 100 copies, or I think one of the biggest sellers so far has sold about between 500 and 700 copies with no real marketing or anything. This particular lady was she'd actually written her own memoir. It was handwritten in 9 exercise books, and it was just tucked away in her remote farmhouse in the Yorkshire Dales. And she came to me and said she'd always wanted it put into a book, so I edited it for her. We worked quite closely because it was an incredibly complicated story, and we turned out this book that's absolutely amazing. She was born in Romania in the 1940s and got caught up with with Stalin's oppressive regime. She ended up in a slave labour camp as a child. I mean, that's called wrong time, wrong place. I mean, and people are absolutely astonished by this book. However, I'm being a bit unfair because I'm going on and on and on. If I'd been you, I'd have interrupted me by now. So go on, interrupt me.
Okay. This is me interrupting you. I would always... Well, obviously, I've not lived much of my life yet.
That's not what I've heard now, so leave it in mind.
So I don't think I've got anything interesting to have memoirs about. So, like, what sort of stories do people want to tell? I mean, are they quite mundane, or are they about quite extraordinary things in their lives?
To me, I mean, anyone who was born, I mean, I've worked with people. The oldest person was born in 1911. I've just been to his 100th birthday party. But anybody who grew up in the 30s, 40s, 50s has got an extraordinary story to tell because everything has changed so much. And you'll find when you get to, whatever, 60 years old, 70 years old, that actually looking back to your childhood is going to be dramatically different from the future. I mean... we've gone from, you know, just very basic radios to fantastic mobile phones and iPads and things. So your own childhood, no matter how modern that seems to you now, to your grandchildren, it's going to be another planet. So I think people's childhoods are always fascinating. And then, obviously, when you go on to be a fantastically successful journalist, you might want to write about that. Mm. So, obviously...
Time spent as a co-presenter on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. That's crucial.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we'll be talking about how radio was and how it's changing. And so you just haven't got enough to say yet because nobody at 20, unless they're a celebrity...
Or Cheryl Cole, you know, Cheryl Cole, obviously. Yeah, or Jordan, she has a lot to say.
I think it's daft writing memoirs at that age. It's just done for money, really.
Yeah, definitely. Outrageous. I agree.
Caroline, it's been absolutely fantastic. Just getting a little flavour of the fantastic work you actually do. It's carolinebrannigan.com. That's Caroline, B-R-A-N-N-I-G-A-N. Like the old, I was going to say MacLeod character. No, I was referring to Duke, John Wayne, who actually had a movie called Brannigan.
He did, yes. We've got a few souvenirs from that movie.
That's right. We'd hope so too. You know, crucial from that perspective. So carolinebrannigan.com, the way to access all manner of marvellous things. Have you had a reasonably interesting debut telephonic chat with us here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Caroline?
It's been delightful, thank you.
So can we look forward to connecting again with you in the very near future and possibly interrupting you as well? You know,
yes, I'll do interrupt me because I didn't have to go on.
Listen, you know, we always like to ensure that there's time to breathe, time to allow these interviews to breathe.
Absolutely.
Too many stations that go for coming up next, Ramin Karimloo, star of Phantom of the Opera and a heap of good things, and of course Hayley Dodd, account executive from Taylor Herring. So all good.